You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a, excuse me, why does that happen? I'm not sure. And a very good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. Should be an interesting show. Actually, there's a lot of news in the news. So, but to be honest with you, we may not have time for any of that foolishness. Because we have business to take care of. Anyway, what is that business? That business is, talk about, today we're going to talk to, Brigadier General Tom Drowdy, going to come on. He comes on the show, on occasion, and, we enjoy it. So, we'll have, General Drowdy on, and, we're going to talk about crisis management in the Marine Corps. You know, written about all over the place, commented about all over the place. Yeah, I didn't fix that. I'm sorry about that. Comment about all over the place is the situation relative to Marines United. So what's the appropriate? So a small group of jackasses get involved in social media and create a media frenzy relative to their activities. What's the appropriate Marine Corps response? Okay, so how does the Marine Corps respond to that? And so we'll talk about that with General Drowdy. And what's the appropriate response in this age of hypervigilance and political correctness? Okay. What is the institutional response to this? Now, I contrast it to something that, to be honest with you, I was not a big fan of, and that is the way that General Amos handled the whole scout sniper urination deal. General Amos embarked on a tour around the Marine Corps, essentially to wire brush everybody's ass for that. And let me tell you what, you know, what needs to happen is, and I said this about Paris Island, the greatest deterrent is to put the people who failed in the front window and make an example out of them. If you fail to supervise, right, you will pay. And again, not just sergeants and staff sergeants, but colonels, general officers, captains, majors, lieutenants, you'll pay. And it'll be a lesson for everybody. So, but he went around the Marine Corps, and essentially we all sat through him chewing our asses. Now, I will tell you this. I served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The conduct of the Marines there, take your breath away. Take your fucking breath away. What they did on a daily basis, the way they did it, the way they spare life, the way they go out of their way to risk their lives for civilians and innocent people, at the risk often of their own lives, take your breath away. No shit. And so, I found it disturbing that, look, read the old breed. Look what the Marines in the Pacific did with the bodies of Japanese soldiers that were killed. You know, they were carving out their gold teeth, for God's sakes. Okay? And we've all read stories about the stupidity of scalps or ears in Iraq and Afghanistan. General Zinni talks about it. About when he was a company commander, he got to his company and he saw that stuff. And he put an end to it. So, I mean, this stuff, it happens. So, What's the mature institutional response? What's the mature institutional response? And here's another question. Mike Musselman and I had a conversation off the air yesterday. And it was, you know, again, we're, you know, you're learning about this stuff as you go. You know, does the UCMJ need to change? Because social media was never really an issue. do Marines need to be told? And again, the Marine Corps' justice system is not concerned with justice, primarily. It is concerned with good order and discipline. Now, it doesn't mean you forego all your rights, but does UCMJ specifically need to have an article that addresses transmitting private images of another person? Does it need to specifically address that? So we'll talk about that, right? There's already laws. I don't know how many states have them, but I believe it's the majority of states have them for something that's called revenge porn. And that is taking pictures of somebody that you used to be, I'll use the word intimate with, and using them in a manner that is detrimental to that, to the person that sent them to you. So if these actions fall under that, then it's prosecuted. It can be prosecuted as, I'm not sure what those laws are, misdemeanors, I would assume, or maybe felonies, I don't know. But in Mike and I's discussion and kind of reading, going back and forth, there's a problem there. And so so it can be handled. So, but what's the appropriate institutional response? Because I guarantee you this. If the Marine Corps undertook an investigation, and Mike gave me the name of probably two other different Facebook pages that were primarily run by female Marines in various states of undress. So if the Marine Corps went about an investigation of the conduct of Marines on social media sites, and again, active duty Marines, or reserve Marines that are active, not essentially activated, but they're active reservists, right? So if you're under the long arm of the Marine Corps, your behavior on social media, okay, what do you think they'd find on both sides of the fence? Okay, so to me, the issue boils down to predatory activity relative to somebody else's privacy. When you weaponize that, and that weapon's used against them, weaponized being a nuclear weapons term, right? So we'll talk about those issues today. And what should be the appropriate institutional response of the Marine Corps? Now, it is Tuesday. So on Tuesday we do transitions. So we'll talk that's Thursday. We do Marine Corps Gazette Hour. And joining me to talk something that the Gunner and I were talking about a while ago, and that was suppressors. The article is entitled "A Critical Advantage: Suppressors for the Modern Rifleman." It's written by a major by the name of John Kivlin, I think. It might be Kivlin, but we'll find out when John joins us. So, much discussed. And I was talking to my lieutenant's son, and he said, yeah, it's a little bit easier to control people, and it's certainly much more difficult based on the people that we've spoken with. When things get going and nobody can tell where the rounds are coming from, he said. So it's much different. He said, you all you hear is poof, poof. So he said, in terms of command and control, he said it's sweet. So all of that today, and then the Gunner will join us, and we'll talk about the Marines United event, what ought to be the Marine Corps response, and hoping that the Marine Corps doesn't I would say go down the road that General Mattis went down with the whole wire brushing of the Marine Corps for something that was easily stoppable. There was lieutenant there. There were staff NCOs there. And you know, hammer them. But it doesn't reflect on the whole Marine Corps, for God's sakes. I don't think. There wasn't a trend of incidents like that. So, again, did Marines do stupid shit? Yeah, they did. But I will tell you what, 99.9% of the Marines who went and fought were awesome, absolutely awesome, and were an incredible reflection on the United States. So, with all that said, again, what's the appropriate institutional response? United States Marine Corps band gets the morning moving. No, it's already moving, so United States Marine Corps band continues.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Check the weather on the Marine Corps. No comment on whether he meant that or not. Sure he did. Come on. Currently, wow, Quantico. Partly cloudy in 62, Camp Lejeune. Sunny in 70, Granbury, Texas. Mostly sunny in 60, North Dakota. Snowing in 19, it was 44 yesterday. I love that, man. Currently, 44 degrees in 29 Palms and sunny, Camp Pendleton. Mostly cloudy, 42, a little bit more normal there. And it was so cold in California on the coast. When in the 40s, man. Tell you, that's brutal. Camp Smith, into the 60s. 68 degrees, clear skies and dark. Okinawa, 59 degrees, cloudy and dark. Fallujah, 67 and sunny right now. Days getting longer. at the home of All Marine Radio. 45 degrees under mostly cloudy skies, looking for a high of 70. Yeah, California becomes California. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to former Brigadier General Tom Drowdy. He'll join us. We'll talk about institutional responses to issues like this, the ones he faced in his life as a Marine, as a general officer, and we'll get his perspective on this. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the Battle Mug. Starts out as a 10.5-pound block of billet aluminum, and it is milled, machined, and anodized, and turned into the mug that you're going to love. It's a top-quality product. Each mug serialized. You can have it engraved. As I said before, repeatedly, mine has a blue diamond engraved on it, as well as my name. Very cool. Picatinny rails on the side, like your rifle, so anything that mounts on your rifle can mount on your battle mug. It's a perfect gift for any commemorative event, farewells, promotions, retirements, or a special event like a birthday, Valentine's Day, or anything like that. Check out the entire line of products, and they're all pretty cool. At battlemug.com, battlemug.com. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a good deal. It's a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States. So, Tom Drowdy going to join us next on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Tuesday. Mike McNamara with you, and I'm privileged to be joined by a gentleman who joins us from time to time. And today seemed like a good day. Tom Drowdy, Brigadier General, retired United States Marine Corps. So, Tom, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mac. I'm doing great. Thank you. Always a pleasure to serve you in any way I can and share a few thoughts and observations and hope that they're useful to your fine listeners.
Well, you know, when I started All Marine Radio, one of the things that I wanted to be able to do was when things happen, like what happened, like what broke, the story that broke over the weekend relative to Marines United, I wanted to have a forum that people could come to where they would hear experienced Marines speak and be able to put some of the stuff that they read about in some kind of a context. Because we tend to hear from the shrillest and the loudest screamers, and those aren't always the best voices to listen to. And so, 9 months into this, we're beginning to do that. And I'm beginning to get emails from civilians who have found the program and things like that. So, my thought in having you on was, historically, you know, the Marine Corps has dealt with different controversies in its existence, and I think there's a certain amount of everybody needs to take a breath. This is not the end of the world. It's not the end of the Marine Corps. It's certainly a bit of a different challenge. It gets a bit hysterical because it feeds into a broader debate in the country about women and women's rights and how women get treated. However, we need to take a deep breath. We need to look at the institution, and we need to see what are the appropriate things that need to be done and not overreact to this. Now, and before I allow you to speak here, sir, one of the things that I mentioned a bit earlier is I didn't think it was a good way to handle it. Now, it might have been something that General Amos politically had to do after after Marines urinated on dead bodies in Afghanistan. Maybe he felt like he had to go around the Marine Corps and wire brush, you know, the officers and staff NCOs. I resented it, to be honest with you. Every conflict we've ever fought in has had its challenges. I mentioned a little bit ago about, you know, all you have to do is read The Old Breed to find out some of the things that went on in World War II. Vietnam had its own challenges relative to scalps and ears and things like that and mutilation and those events. And so every conflict has it. And so I thought that there was a better way to handle that. In my opinion, the better way to handle it is you hammer the people that are involved in it and those who were supposed to supervise it and prevent it, because they obviously allowed an environment in which these things were done to continue. And in that way, you create an example for everybody. If you want to go there, you will pay. And you're not going to pay a little bit. You're going to pay hard. So I wanted to have you on this morning and ask you, as somebody who rose to the rank of General Officer of the Marine Corps, and were you the PAO of the Marine Corps?
Yeah, my last active duty assignment was Director of Public Affairs.
Okay. So I want to look at this problem from a number of lenses. First, I'll ask you your general thoughts on seeing the headlines that you've seen relative to this incident.
Yeah, Mac, I think like any Marine, we feel outrage when we learn that one of our fellow Marines has done or allegedly has done something, really egregious, unlawful, humiliating to another Marine. I mean, all of those things, you know, come to mind. So, you know, that's the first response of, gee, why don't some people just understand that we don't treat one another this way? I mean, we're not supposed to treat human beings this way, let alone another Marine. And as, you know, I was going through, I just thought, how does any of these actions contribute to our core values of honor, courage, and commitment? I mean, it takes no honor to put up the photo of a fellow Marine with name and address and unit and all those things, making that Marine a possible target for stalking or violence, or even to condone violence. And where's the courage to do something like that through the anonymity of the Internet? And where's your commitment to core and country, but also the most precious asset that we have as Marines, which is one another? I mean, this is just a horrible example of where we've let some of our values kind of slip, and some individuals who either the passion of the moment or whatever the case may be just have exercised some horribly flawed judgment, and there's got to be an accountability for it. But and maybe you're going to get into this, but I think part of it is what is the actions, or what should the actions be, of the leadership of the Marine Corps? And there's some risk involved in various statements. And then you mentioned one about the urination of the corpses, the statement made by General Lamus in 2013. Also in 2012, there's a talk that he went around and talked about sexual assault in the Marine Corps. But in both of these, there has to be, and this is, I won't sound lawyer-like in this regard, but...
Go ahead, you can.
The possibility of unlawful command influence. So
right.
I think leaders have to make a choice. Do you want to let your outrage contaminate legal consequences? Now, that sounds very, very legalistic, I realize, but sometimes statements that have been made expressing the outrage, and I totally understand those. And Mac, just as an aside, I have changed certainly over the years in my feelings and relationships towards women in the service, being married to a Marine and the father of a Navy pilot. So a Navy pilot who is at tailhook. So, you know, there's a number of these things that make me come up with these observations. But the point is that
Navy pilot, is it your son who attended Tailhook?
No, my daughter.
Your daughter attended Tailhook in Las Vegas?
At Las Vegas. That's right. She was in the Navy. She was undergoing a naval aviation training.
Wow.
And became a carrier pilot in the Navy, two tours overseas, instructor pilot when she finished up, and then got out and pursued her career otherwise. But I share this because this gives, I think, a different perspective from others. And I just offer that in a way of kind of full disclosure, but also background for the things that I'm, have said and about to say. But the point is that, you know, we've got Marines who I know also were outraged. They include the Commandant of the Marine Corps, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of Defense. But what do they say to ensure or to weigh the possible contamination of unlawful command influence? And that is anyone who bears the mantle of command authority with statements can have that come up. So, and it has come up, again, the statements made by General Amos in 2012 and 2013, and statements that I know were from the heart, outrage and so forth, but there are consequences of statements made by seniors. Now, some people would say, well, it's worth it, and that's a judgment call. But any risk ought to be weighed as to what is the best outcome. Is the best outcome to, as you've indicated, to hammer, to ensure brought to justice those who have committed these things? And if that's the case, then the statements of leaders have to be tempered accordingly. If it rather is to send a signal to the entire organization, be it the Marine Corps, the Department of Defense, and so forth, with the knowledge that it is probably going to be used as an indication of unlawful command influence, then that's a choice to be made as well. It's just that it's easy to say people should say or shouldn't say certain things, but I think it's well to understand the consequences of statements, measured statements, statements that are expressed full outrage, and sometimes silence, which, as we've learned in public affairs, can never be misquoted. So let me stop there and see what your questions are.
No, I think that, so institutionally, the first play is everybody shut up, okay? And I know the Marine Corps issued yesterday talking points for leaders relative to this. So that would be that would be the first piece. Let's talk about, this is not the first time the Marine Corps institutionally has been faced with a situation like this. But it is a hot button issue in our culture. And I think it's probably an issue that we don't understand very well as older guys, the role that social media plays in the lives of young people today. So let's just start, the pressure that comes from the media and that comes from Congress based on the actions of a few. Now, it might be a few thousand, we'll have to wait for the investigation to be done. But let's just say for the sake of argument that, that the majority of the 30,000 followers, the vast majority are people just looking, and there's a minority of active duty Marines. And I'll just use the number, 2,000, just because I don't know any number. So I'll just use that. That are investigated and are found to have contributed, to weaponizing information that was given to them by somebody they dated, and then essentially it was weaponized and used against them to either exploit, embarrass, because there's no positive outcome with it. So I don't know how else you could frame it. So what is the Marine Corps, the appropriate Marine Corps response given the visibility of it and certainly the hot button issues in terms of sexual assault in the Marine Corps is a hot button issue. You know, the whole issue of the welcoming nature or the not so welcoming nature of the Marine Corps relative to females and trying to grow that number. This certainly doesn't help that. So give me, were you still the PAO and you were going to a meeting this morning with the Commandant? I know you're going to tell me you'd probably do more listening than speaking, but, what would be the things that you would be concerned, about relative to the Marine Corps' response to this?
Sure. Great question, Mac. When I became Director of Public Affairs, a reporter, Marine Otto Kreischer, who had been with me in the Gulf and a good guy, and we had, you know, a good professional relationship. And so he said, General Drouty, let me offer some advice if you'd like. I said, absolutely, Otto, stand by. And he said, understand that in the world that you're about to enter, bad news always gets out. Now, because you're an infantryman, I'll say that again. Bad news always gets out. Good news only gets out if you really work it, because good news is not news. Bad news is titillating, it's exciting, it's it gains interest and so forth. So you are going to be experienced with bad news, and as good as the Marine Corps is, you know, understand that. As a quick aside, I asked a reporter one time, why is it that, this is Michael Phillips, who wrote a great book called The Gift of Valor about Corporal Jason Dunham, the Medal of Honor recipient. And I asked him, you know, why do reporters have a tendency to report only the bad news? And he looked at me and he said, General, reporters consider the Marine Corps to be perfect. So when you do things well, that's not news. When you don't do things well, when you're not perfect, that's news. And I thought, well, I guess that's kind of a compliment. But getting back to Otto, he said, here's the tactic to follow when bad news, not if bad news, but when bad news hits, and that is get on it immediately and let the folks know, the world know what has taken place, as much as you can share without divulging classified material or the rights of individuals, whatever, but, you know, protecting all those things that have to be protected, but not protecting the image of the Marine Corps. These things happen, and the idea is get it out quickly and accurately, and you will find that you'll take your hits for about a day or so, and then it'll be overcome by somebody else's bad news, that somebody else who was not smart enough as you were to get it out quickly and accurately.
So,
Mac, that always stayed with me. And so we had bad news stories, you know, general officer misconduct, et cetera. And I would go into the commandant and you know, watch him wince as I would say, sir, we've got to get this out quickly and accurately. It's not good news, but it's, if we don't do so, then every time this story is retold, part of the story will be how the Marine Corps tried to spin it, how the Marine Corps tried to obfuscate, how the Marine Corps tried to hide the truth. And that can't be part of the story. I mean, we're better than that. And the commandants all agreed with that. We took our hits, and then it passed by. Other services, you know, to talk about tailhook, for the Navy for a long time, their adage was, it never happened. And besides, they deserved it. Wow. And so every time tailhook is raised, that story carries with it the spinning that was a part of that story. So long answer to your question, that's what I would tell the commandant. We gather what information we have. We let the folks know that this is under investigation, and we're going to pursue it all the way, hold people accountable. You know, beyond that, just continue to update with information to keep the accuracy going, but under no conditions say, well, you know, it's just you know, an aberration, or this you know, really is just being exaggerated, et cetera. No, 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 that's not what we would do. Stick strictly to the facts, and we will get through this. Understand that the American people have this tremendous relationship and love for the Marine Corps, and they don't want bad things to happen. But when they do happen, they expect the Marine Corps to do the right thing for the right reasons, and whether it's on the battlefield or in the halls of Congress, that's what's expected of the Marine Corps, and that's what we have to do.
My guest this morning is retired Marine Corps Brigadier General Tom Droughty. He's a former public affairs officer, the public affairs officer for the Marine Corps, and we're lucky to have him with us this morning. We're talking about the appropriate response. So step one, everybody shut up. Step two, the Marine Corps takes its face shot and puts the truth front and center as we know it. And then the investigation ensues. And then these things are dealt with under the Uniform Code of Military Justice as appropriate. So let me talk to you about this issue in particular. The issue of, I'll give it a broad heading of sexting. Not something that you and I dealt with as leaders in the Marine Corps, cell phones and pictures are, and then yesterday, I was talking to Mike Musselman. The question was, is this simply the modern day version of the hog board? Because, you know, we both grew up with that as part of our culture. A board, a cork board, in a squad bay. Guys put up pictures of their girlfriends, and you know that you'd walk in and you'd look, and everybody, you know, you'd take a look. Your thoughts on this, sir? Is this something that is this a new phenomenon in the Marine Corps? Is it something the Marine Corps has always dealt with and struggled with? Because again, you know, I had people sending in emails yesterday. You know, Mackey, this is, you know. You know, join the Marine Corps, see the world. Well, you know, see the world for a lot of guys is they want to go to the Philippines. They want to go to Thailand. They've heard the exotic sex stories that guys come back with. And, starting back, Vietnam era, those guys came back and talked about the things they saw and the things they did. And I think most of us have been in those bars and gone into those places. And so we take young men around the world, especially first-term enlistees who are just learning about the Marine Corps, and they're young and dumb, and I won't finish the rest of that. And so with that exuberance, they do stupid things. And so this is our population, sir, in the Marine Corps. Do we need to expand the UCMJ and maybe add additional articles for predatory behavior like this instead of attempting to cover it with Article 134 and Article 133?
Well, there is the UCMJ Article 120 Charlie that bans the distribution of indecent photos and videos. So there's an article already that persists back, at least that I think is sufficient.
But I think, though, that covers if it was taken unwittingly and then transmit it. And I think the difference is, what happens if somebody sent this to me? Is it now mine? Is it theirs? They sent it to me. They didn't tell me, hey, don't send this to anybody. They didn't tell me when we parted ways, hey, please delete those. There was no coordinating instructions with that. So
I think the operative word is distribution.
Are they mine? Okay.
Well,
all right.
If you receive it and do nothing with it, that to me is not distribution. If you say, well, this is great stuff, and I send it on, then that, to my mind, is distribution. But let me get to what I think is the larger issue here,
okay.
Mac, and that is, I know it's a different Marine Corps and different times and so forth, but I can just share a almost a quaint story of being a lieutenant in 1964 in Okinawa. I just brought my platoon back from Vietnam, and it was the Company XO. And we had a horrible problem. This is at Camp Schwab. Hinoko was the village right outside. Terrible challenge with venereal disease. And so the first sergeant the company, a Guadalcanal veteran, so you see how old I am, said to the company commander, a great guy, First Lieutenant Sterling Coates, who was killed later in Vietnam leading a rifle company. So he said, sir, here's what solved this problem. That was, when we issue the Liberty Card to the Marines, we also issue a condom. And that'll make sure that, there's no venereal disease. And so Sterling thought about it and said, okay, let's go with that. And I struggled with this, and then I, called Sterling aside and said, I'm your executive officer. I'm expected, and you expect from me loyalty to carry out your orders. But I have to tell you, this one is one that I disagree with, and it's not just a religious thing. It's the trust that we no longer have in our Marines. We're saying, I don't trust you to do the right thing, and therefore I'm going to give you the protection when you make the choice to have sexual relations. And so if this is your order, then I've got to go to the battalion commander and request a transfer because I can't be your XO. And Sterling thought about it and said, yeah, I see your point, and so change the order. But that really seems quaint in these days and probably outlandish, but that was one way to do it. And I guess the point of this is, Mac, in looking at this entire thing.
Hey, sir, can I tell you a similar story? I got off the USS Ranger going ashore in, I want to say, it might have been Thailand, and everybody was supposed to have four condoms. So I'd work to do because setting security and things like that. So I didn't get off until late into the evening, the day we docked, or we actually moored out in the harbor. And I went to go ashore, and Lieutenant JG, who I knew, you report to the quarter deck. Lieutenant McNamara requests permission to go ashore. Mac, you got your four condoms? No, I don't. I'm married. I'm not doing that. Mac, you got to have them or you can't leave. I said, well, I don't have them, and I'm leaving. So if you want to charge me, go ahead. And he looked at me, and I left. Nothing ever happened to me. But, I never thought, I understand, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Maybe somebody thinks that's a good idea. I didn't. And, I'm like you, sir. And I don't try to hold myself out as anything special, and I don't think you do either, but I was offended by it. And, let me read you Article 120, Charlie.
Okay.
Other sexual misconduct. Indecent viewing, visual recording, or broadcasting. Any person subject to this chapter who, without legal justification or lawful authorization, one, knowingly and wrongfully views the private area of another person without that person's consent. Okay, so that's not what we're talking about, okay? These images are consensual, okay? Because if they're not consensual, then it's easy. Then
okay, but some of these that we're talking about were not consensual. They were
okay, no, okay, those are easy then.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is a girl and a guy are going out together. She sends him pictures of herself.
Mm-hmm.
So the second stipulation, knowingly photographs, videotapes, films, or records by any means the private area of another person without that person's consent or under the circumstances in which that person has a reasonable expectation of privacy or knowingly broadcasts or distributes any such recording that the person knew or reasonably knew should have been made under the circumstances prescribed in paragraphs 1 or 2 is guilty of an offense under this section and shall be punished as a court-martial may direct. Now, to me, that sounds like everything that's covered in terms of transmittal is covered by Article 120, Charlie. If you transmit it, and somebody sent that to you expecting you to keep that to yourself, which I think most women would, any transmission of that you would be guilty of 120, Charlie. Does that sound right to you?
It does, and I think the term is often used for the woman who will allow that, and then there's a breakup, whoever, it then becomes, I think the term is revenge porn.
Right.
That is, this is a way to get back at my former girlfriend, ex-spouse, whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's a deeper issue here, Mac, and one that has really bothered me in this whole thing. And I realize I'm an old guy, and this is all, you know, different from our days. But the one thing that isn't different is when these things come up, one of my first questions is, where was the leadership? It's hard to believe that for the active duty that were involved in all of this, that there were not NCOs or staff NCOs or officers who were not aware of what was going on and evidently tolerated it. It was evidently okay. And that's, I guess, what really bothers me most is...
Well, hey, sir, let me read you an email that I got last night.
Huh?
Let me read you an email that I got last night. Hey, Mac, I listened to your broadcast today. I've listened to your show on a number of occasions over the course of the last several months. I was actually curious about the discussion. If I could add something to this, some of the worst in harassment of we female Marines are NCOs and staff NCOs. I can tell you that from personal experience, and I think if you ask any junior female Marine, they will tell you the same thing. It's not just our peers. It is people that are above us in our chain of command. It doesn't pain me to say that because it's a simple reality of the Marine Corps. So, you know, sir, so in light of what you're saying, the reality that junior female enlisted Marines paint is not a very welcoming place sexually. That it's brutal in some cases. And I guess the challenge is, how do you change the culture? And I think it starts with some of the reforms that have already been made in terms of the sexual assault response coordinator, things like that. But to me, you have to crush this stuff, and when people cross this line, they have to pay in a very public way, and they can't pay the light penalty. They have to pay the heavy penalty.
Yeah, I agree. That's what we hope will gain the attention of folks, but it's so frustrating that the message still fails to resonate with so many
right.
people that this is not okay. This is not boys will be boys. You know, this is, and again, I get down to, you know, one of our core beliefs, and that is in each other in the core. And, you know, to do this to anyone is egregious. But to do it to one of your fellow Marines, you know, it is so disturbing. And, you know, put it into context, suppose a male Marine put pictures of this nature of another male Marine. I think there'd be an outrage, as there should be. Suppose a female Marine put pictures of a male Marine or a female. I mean, the same outrage. So,
but so not only the pictures, but the name, the duty
yeah.
station, the unit, all
yeah,
of that. That's enabling predators. That's
exactly.
It's what you're doing, and so. But again, this stuff happens, and again, I think it offends. I think most of us are offended. There is a certain amount of cajoling among male Marines and even females. One of the emails I got yesterday that Mike Musselman and I were talking about off the air was about a couple of websites that female Marines post stuff on, and they said, "Hey, go check this out." And so, to me, one of the not solutions but parts of the solution was, hey, everybody in the Marine Corps has to know that this conduct is not acceptable. Okay? And if you choose to publish this about yourself, then maybe there should be discipline about that, because I don't know that the population that we preside over, you know, they come from a society that accepts this. And that behavior is extremely detrimental to our own ecosystem. And so I don't know, you know, how do we coexist with it? I don't know that you can, because it breaks down good order and discipline. It objectifies and sexualizes women or men, in if it runs both directions. And now you're going to work on the Love Boat. You're not going to work at a Marine unit. And that's I think that's a bad thing. Your thoughts about that?
Well, and you're right. We have challenges with our youngsters coming into the Marine Corps and bringing with them the values or lack of values that have been part of their lives up until the time that they stand in the yellow footprints. But then the change takes place, and that change, in many cases, is counterintuitive to many of our youngsters, which means that the things that were okay before are not okay now. And it's not just of a sexual nature, it's cheating. You know, how many of your youngsters come in and think that it's okay to cheat in school because the ends justify the means? That's not okay. That's not okay in the Marine Corps. So that's a change that we inculcate in our youngsters. And I think this has got to be part of that as we try to continue to do so. And let me just state right now, I'm a firm believer in keeping boot camp as it is. I don't think the solution to this problem is to integrate boot camp. I guess I'm old time in that regard, but I think that part of it, with the necessary supervision and with the necessary accountability for a recruit training, male and female, is not to be tampered with. Adjusted as necessary. When there are corrections that should be made.
Okay, let me ask you one modification is that suggested is the OCS model, and that is there's a female platoon inside the male company. Would you support that modification?
Because it seems to work at OCS, I think it's I would be willing to consider it as a test,
right.
You know, to see what would be the results of that at Parris Island with a platoon within a company there, but kind of warily, again, because of I think the success of boot camp as it is that modification worth considering?
Right.
I think any possible improvement. Would appear to be an improvement is worthy of consideration. So I would not dismiss it out of hand, but I go about it warily. But at the same token, the Marine Corps, I believe, has been very good about conducting tests to see what's best. And the test that the Marine Corps did on the integration of women into the infantry, I thought was extremely well done. And over a period of time and the various options that were provided, unfortunately, they were not well received by the previous administration, but nevertheless, the Marine Corps does that, I believe, well in trying to come up with the best solution.
Okay. The Tom Droughty, my guest this morning, here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, we're talking about the Marines United situation that kind of unfolded over the weekend and continues to ripple through the through the culture of the Marine Corps, if you will, and to the media, with I'm sure more and more probably worse stories that will eventually come out of this. And so, bottom line, sir, I think that after reading Article 120 Charlie, any transmission of materials that were sent to you in confidence would be an infraction of the UCMJ. Weaponizing that for exploitation is a criminal offense in most states, covered under revenge porn. And so what do you think is the key element here? We do a ton of sexual assault education. There's a huge emphasis placed on that. You know, no means no, and constantly. But this is a problem in our society, and this is not a cop out. And so it's not going away. Anything the Marine Corps needs to do different, or do you think that in terms of the UCMJ, that's pretty much what we need? We need to punish the people that are involved in this and continue the course, or do you think we need to do something, it needs to do something different?
I think something different.
Okay.
If you keep doing the same thing and you keep getting the same results, I think it's kind of goes without saying. I think the Marine Corps should consider a stand down. You know, when in the air wing, when there's a challenge, they have a stand down and they just kind of stop, put anything on pause, you know, take a look at the situation, and then you know, go forward. But it gains the attention of all involved that this is something serious and something that's got to be corrected, and it's got to be also done in a way that unlawful command influence is not going to be a factor later in the judicial proceedings for those that should and I hope will be held accountable. But this sends out to the Marine Corps a signal that this is serious and that we're taking it seriously, and we want you to understand what's okay and what's not okay in our Corps. And that is the solution that I would propose at this point, and hope that the Marine Corps gets that message of the seriousness of this, and that how it's a betrayal of a fellow Marine, you know, just can't be tolerated, regardless of the gender of that fellow Marine. And unless and until that happens, I think we're still going to be wrestling with this challenge of youngsters with a different value system in many cases, with social media that all that provides, but also to remind them that there are lines that may not be crossed. And when those lines are crossed, there are consequences, and not just from a judicial standpoint, but from an internal morale and effectiveness of units that are going to be so adversely affected by this betrayal.
Tom Drowdy, Brigadier General, United States Marine Corps, retired. Has been my guest this morning on the first hour of All Marine Radio here on a Tuesday. All right, sir. Appreciate you. And again, you know, what is the institutional response? How ought it to go? And you know what? I thought of that as well. A standout, because you know, obviously you have to answer the political pressure the Commandant does. And so, you know, and I think the way we've seen it handled best is respected units in leaders stand up and talk about these issues and talk about what's acceptable as a Marine and what's acceptable in our culture, no matter what culture you came from and no matter what standard was okay in that culture. This is who you are now. This is what you're a part of now, and this is not acceptable, and we won't tolerate it. And when we came home from combat, and those same leaders stood up and talked about the issues that you would face coming home, post-traumatic stress, anger management, things like that that might affect you. It resonates so much more when it comes out of your unit, when respected guys do it. And so we'll see what happens. I concur with you, though, and we'll see how the Marine Corps handles this. But thank you very much for doing this, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mac. Anytime, let me know how I can help, and God bless you and your fine efforts, and Semper Fidelis.
All right. That is Brigadier General Tom Drowdy. United States Naval Academy, and always a great articulate guest, and again, former public affairs officer of the United States Marine Corps. All right, we're going to take a break. Major John Krivlin, I think that's how you say his name, he wrote an article in the Gazette about suppressors and the infantry. So we're going to talk to him about that as we continue on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.